our 2.5 mile run of the world famous Ellen Fletcher Bike Boulevard, aka Bryan Street here in Palo Alto, will begin on East Meadow and head north toward University Avenue and the next city just beyond Menlo Park.
As we move along here, we see a lot of standard 3-bedroom, 2-bath homes. The month is March, so trees are starting to come back into blossom, and beautiful trees on this street. Still two houses haven't come to the street yet, haven't come across the street yet. Mixed in with the single-story homes are these trophy homes, giant monolithic two-story homes that almost can fit on a postage stamp. A lot of probably every other maybe fifth or sixth home has been reconstructed, rebuilt, and that's Palo Alto for you. We're still moving along this very long block headed for El Verona, and I'm going along really slow, putting along here so you can get a feel for what it's like to go really slow here in Palo Alto on this beautiful spring day. It's time right now, it's about 3 in the afternoon. No traffic. There's generally no traffic on this stretch anyway. We are now 3 doors away from the end of the first part of Bryant, aka the Bike Boulevard of Palo Alto, where it comes up at El Verona to a dead end. A dead end meaning that cars cannot continue to this end. Obstruction in the way. So we're going to go through the obstruction. It's just a pipe that's placed in the middle of the road. And we'll just keep continuing. And as we move forward, we pass by some pretty big homes. Still, once again, with pretty big trees. And this essentially is a dead end. This link between El Verona and Campesino, which is the next street we're coming on, and a man-made, and they all are, but it's a man-made dead end that pretty much doesn't place a lot of traffic on this part of the roadway. More of the standard 3-bedroom, 2-bath, single-story homes mixed in with the public with one every other fifth or so is a trophy home. And a lot of people want to live in Palo Alto, particularly on Bryant, because this is a bike boulevard that sees lots and lots of bike traffic. I'm not seeing that many people on it right now. Generally, a lot of people on bikes during more of the commute hours, or commute for school as well as for work. Less so in the winter, more so in the spring, more so in the fall. Not as much, surprisingly, during the summer because it's maybe a little bit too hot for most people. We're now crossing Loma Verde Street. Loma Verde is marked by the intersection of El Carmelo School, which is an elementary school. Maybe you'll be able to hear the kids out there playing. The age for the school is K, probably through 6th. K through 5th, excuse me. More of the single-story homes. I don't see any two stories directly facing the El Carmelo School. It's a beautiful elementary school built probably originally back in the 50s and restored and repainted and beautiful lawns, beautiful grounds. It's amazing what a little bit of money can do. It's something that in most cities, other cities, looks like a complete and total eyesore. So now as we get beyond El Carmelo School, we approach a road called El Carmelo. And just to the other side of El Carmelo is the bike bridge that connects El Carmelo with the rest of Palo Alto, El Carmelo School, Bryant. This is a bikes-only bridge that is for the purpose of, obviously, bikes-only. We're going over it right now. It's a very simple construction. And we're to the other side of it. We're on a, essentially, like, once again, we're on what has amounted to a dead end for Bryant. No cars. Wonderful no car experience of doing that type of biking in Palo Alto. Again, it's 3:30 in the afternoon or so on a weekday. But yet, it's not. Never do I see much traffic on this road. The homes are still a lot of the same type of thing. A lot of homes in Palo Alto are Eichlers. Eichler meaning that they're a flat top construction. And yet, these are not Eichlers. They're some other type. Looks like 1960s type of building. I see a, I do see a flat top. Ah, a flat top, yay. Okay, in and amongst all of the other more conventional construction homes, the peak roofs and things like that. Again, usually 3-bedroom, 1-bath, or 3-bedroom, 2-bath. Typical suburbanite type homes that, it's kind of hard for me to believe that Palo Alto is a suburb of San Francisco. And yet, of course, they're going to ask after I moved from Santa Cruz. I grew up in the Bay Area, but after I moved back from Santa Cruz, where you're definitely in a more rural setting, as it were, I guess, at least compared to Palo Alto. So, as we move along here, we've got the typical trophy homes that dwarf the simple single-story construction stuff. And that's, again, about every 5 or 6 homes. It's amazing. And if you come to Palo Alto, you're always going to see a building going on. It's, every street almost has a home that's being reconstructed. Now, if we're up, more often than not. Oftentimes with basements in them. And it's amazing the gardens. Some of the gardens are just like the simple ones. One house right here, you see roses, poppies, and lilac. There's not a lilac, but some kind of a white flower, and that beautiful stuff. I wish I knew my flowers better. A lot of camellias, they're in bloom right now. And it's quite the beautiful setting. I'm coming right now upon Oregon Expressway. I'm going to pick it up just a little bit. Oregon is a very busy expressway. And this, like all the major arterials on Bryant, is controlled by a pressure-sensitive traffic sensor that I'm going to sit here and roll over the edge of it and hang out. Now, while on my high wheel, I can't do this. High wheel bike being the old-fashioned penny flooding type of construction. I'd have to maybe do a construction and pray that I don't blow it and roll into traffic or something like that. So there's always that possibility. So waiting for the traffic to clear on Oregon Expressway. Oregon Expressway connects Highway 101 with the other side of the city. The other side of the city being Stamford, the base of the hills, separated from the ocean. And Oregon Expressway is interesting because at one time this road was, it's an expressway that is a man-made, how else could it be, man-made expressway, and yet man-made by virtue of the fact that a number of homes were torn out in the building craze of the, 60s, I believe, I'm pretty sure the 60s, and they tore out a whole side of the road, all the homes on one side, a whole row of homes, all the way down from, I'm talking about maybe the half a mile or 1 mile stretch of homes that were obliterated so that we can, as Palo Alto, get from 101 up to the base of the foothills a little bit faster. Back when that was the dominant mindset of the day. We're moving along on Bryant and approaching the first street we come to after we cross over Embarcadero, or excuse me, Oregon Expressway, is California Street. And I can go left here, and I can take a couple block run and go through the bike tunnel that connects me to California Avenue, which is a business district of Palo Alto, a smaller business district. It's not as glitzy or charming or famous as the University Avenue or as the restaurants, which is where we're headed for right now. So we'll keep that thought in mind, maybe, for another run that you'll be doing with us. Right now, we're just moving along Bryant Avenue. I particularly like this stretch of Bryant between California Avenue and Santa Rita is one of the streets we're crossing over, and Seal and some of the other ones. And it's just gorgeous here. Epic trees. It's a really, really, really beautiful, beautiful stretch. They just redid the road. Tree canopy. It's during the summer, this is major shade. During the winter, the sun is welcome. Here now, during the spring, the filtered sunlight as well is welcome. So, we're just cruising along, and it's, I'm in heaven, if there ever was such a thing where bikes are concerned. This is bicycle heaven, right here, between California Avenue, it's on Bryant, all the way on up to probably Embarcadero, where the girls' school is, at Castellet. Well, we've yet to get to that, but I'm talking probably about a 3/4 mile stretch. Pretty epic. And I think you'll agree with me once you get out here, try this part of the bike boulevard out. So, on my left is a home with a really, really deep lot. Pretty amazing stuff. It goes quite a ways back. It looks like it's probably three or four different lots. And they got a basketball court set up there, and picnic tables. It's epic. We see these kinds of homes along Bryant, and they're definitely, you know, landmark and epic and every other thing like that about them. Here's a home right here, for example, that picks up probably, it's on a corner of Tennyson, and it takes up probably two blocks. It's surrounded by ivy, and behind the ivy is I know because I've heard them, it's a pretty epic swimming pool. And so that goes the whole, probably two houses worth of property-wise. And it's this monstrous 12, 14-foot tall ivy fence, and it's gorgeous. We're going to come right now pretty soon to another barricade that keeps cars off of this road. I neglected to mention that... No, I'm thinking of the other street. No, that's not correct. I didn't neglect to mention anything. I did need to mention, however, that as we come to this barricade, we are going through what's now called Lowell, L-O-W-E-L-L. So I hope you're with me. I'm going all of maybe about 5 or 10 miles an hour, and not going real fast, so you should be able to hang on this speed. I've taken my bikey out just for this. It's a very slow run that we're doing, and it'd probably be a little bit quicker on the high wheel, but I wouldn't be as able to stop if need be. And do some other things that are associated with creating this tour for you to participate in. It won't let me more like most people when I'm on a bike. Another epic house here that I just crossed over. It's on the corner of Coleridge and Bryant. A corner house surrounded by ivy. Must take up 2-3 homes worth of property. And it's just sensational. It's a 2-story home. I'm sure there's tremendously beautiful gardens behind the ivy fence there. Which, of course, I've not seen. Because I just have not seen it yet, if ever. largely because I don't know the people. We're coming up on another epic, same type of thing at the corner of Churchill and Bryant. Monster 12, 14, 15, 16 feet tall ivy fences and enclosed beautiful white homes. You look through the fence and strain, you can see the gardens and just gorgeous stuff. Wisteria all over that house. Old, probably early 1900 construction. There's a lot of really old homes here that date back to the early 1900s at this part of the town. As we get closer to university, we're going to be more and more finding that the construction is changing to where it's not, not the single story, three and two bath construction that is, makes a part of the large part of South Palo Alto, or Midtown, as it's called. As we continue on here, we're now passing what's called Castilleja, C-A-S-T-I-L-L-E-G-A-A. It's a girls' school. It's on the corner of Embarcadero and Bryant. It's a girls-only school. And I think that within the context of that, and it's also been understood that it's an expensive girls-only school. And they got a lot of really nice activities for the women, pretty nice grounds for them to kind of hang out in. There's gyms, there's ball diamonds, there's lecture halls. It's a pretty impressive campus. So we're now crossing over a Embarcadero. Now, Embarcadero goes straight through to Stanford. If you're on Embarcadero, if you're on Bryant going the other way, you cannot turn left. If you're on Bryant going the way I'm going, you cannot go straight. So you must turn right. So that's one of the also car deterrents that make up Bryant, as Bryant is known as a bike boulevard. On a national level, it's it has, I believe, a national reputation as one of the few bike boulevards, and there aren't that many, that really get you places, connect you with downtown, and you can travel and do things while you're on your bike. It's wonderful stuff. Passing by a under-construction building that they're taking up to three stories. It's an old monolithic building that services apartments, but it probably looks like it's probably originally was 1930 or so construction. On the corner is a corner of Bryant and Lincoln is a home that is being rebuilt. Now, the way this home is being rebuilt is interesting because it had to go through a pretty extensive permit process. I remember reading about it in the paper. And it's all being reconfigured back to the original specs of the day, where all of the dormers, the window dormers, the lines of the roof, all that's been rebuilt. And it's configured back to the original look. And so it's been rebuilt, but rebuilt within the way within which it keeps the historical look of the way the building once was. I just crossed over Addison. Addison is the famous. Let's take a look at that before we go over to university, because it's just a block. A block from Bryant is the famous Hewlett-Packard House. This is where, in arguably, the Silicon Valley Revolution, as we know it, began. This is where the garage industry that Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak of Apple made famous, because this house has a garage that the two Daves, Packard and Hewlett, from HP Hewlett Packard, built their famous vacuum tubes that would change the world forever. And it's now, let me read this this sign to you in the front that says the birthplace of Silicon Valley. The world's first high technology region, Silicon Valley. The idea for such a region originated with Dr. Frederick Terman, a Stanford University professor who encouraged his students to start up their own electronics companies in the area instead of joining established firms in the East. The first two students to follow his advice were Bill Hewitt and Dave Packard, who in 1938 began developing their first product, an audio oscillator, in his garage. And we're right in front of that building right now. They restored it, and that's on the corner of Edison and Waverly, so it's a block away from Bryant. Now let's head back up to Bryant. You can stop here and hang out. It's a pretty nice place. I don't think you can't go in, but you can marvel at it. So, there are people living in the home, and that's probably why the home looks so nice. It was recently restored, and it's a beautiful, beautiful job they did on it. So, okay, now we're kind of back up to the Bryant. It was a short little detour we took, and as we head back up to Bryant, we are just about on it, and we just, as we head toward it, I want to mention the fact there is a little bulb out, roundabout, that is placed in the middle of the traffic that I just take for granted anymore, but it's kind of a traffic calming device. Here's a home with a monstrous redwood tree in the front yard. Must be 60, 70 feet tall. And have a huge base on it. There's a Palo Alto nursing home that gives you an idea of how peaceful this area is. We're now crossing over Channing. Channing is one of the few stop signs on Bryant that we have to abide by. And we're coming through an area of a lot of little newer construction apartment villas that were built here in the last within the last few years. They're still working on some of them even. And on the corner of Homer and Bryant is a massive dig that's going on. It's for a parking structure that is going to be beneath another building that takes place in Palo Alto. Now we're coming up on Palo Alto City Hall. And quite epic building. I don't know, it's amazing that here in Palo Alto, a population of 60-some-odd thousand people, that there is a city hall that is maybe, I'll get the exact number on that, but it's probably, I'd say just looking at 20 stories tall. I've known what the number is, and I'll maybe check that out for you to see if you know exactly what it is. But, and underneath that 20-story structure, white monolithic building, is probably 4 or 5 stories deep of parking. So, if you, God forbid, if you want to come here in a car and explore Palo Alto, it's public parking. And you can park there and take your bike off and explore Palo Alto from what I understand and think to be true to be a pretty secure parking area. Here now, you're crossing Hamilton Avenue. There's a light, so we gotta wait. And you'll wait with me as I sit here and let the cars go by. There might be a little more traffic here than normal because it's more that time of day, but it's on the weekends probably a lot less traffic here at this particular intersection. But the next block's going to be University, and then we'll be done with this part of the tour. On the way to University, I want to point out that we're now leaving the to the left of us, the City Hall complex. To the left, we're leaving that behind. And on our right is the a couple places of note. There is a Rangoon, Burmese and Chinese restaurant. There's Gidi's Fine Lingerie. I'm sorry, I need to say that. That's next to a, to the left is a place called Vero. Hi. Vero is a restaurant, Ristorante Italiano, and so there's your first one of your first restaurants. So if you've driven here, you can partake of that food before you start your ride. And I'm looking, I'm on the lookout for restaurants here, and there's a place called the Three Seasons Contemporary Vietnamese Cuisine. It's down an alleyway. It's right before you get to the left, right before you get to University Avenue. So that completes the tour on the corner of Noah Zagel's clients and the university. And, so that completes our tour from Meadow Avenue University.
That wraps up another National Bicycle Greenway virtual tour. We hope you enjoyed it. This has been NBG Director and Awake Again author Martin Krieg. For more info about the NBG, go to nationalbicyclegreenway.com. To access this podcast in the future, go to bikeroute.com.